we're going to do that last because it's my favorite. Okay, so now we're going to have a look at Vaishnava Seva. This is also a very interesting topic. You may wonder, he's the Supreme Personality of Servant of Godhead, so what's he got to do with Vaishnava Seva? You may think like that, but it's very interesting. He's actually a wonderful servant of our disciplic succession. He's serving our disciplic succession by appearing in it. And he appears in it twice. He appears in it as a Diksha disciple of Lakshmipati Tirtha and a Siksha disciple of Madananda Puri. So we're going to read about this. Now, Bhakti Ratnakar in the fifth wave, it tells us Sri Lakshmipati Prabhu's initiation of Sri Nityananda Ram. He says, it increased the happiness of the Madhva Sampradaya. All the devotees in that line, all of our disciplic succession were in ecstasy that Nityananda took initiation into our line. As an old sloka states, glory to the favorite disciple of Lakshmipati, the source of happiness of the Madhva Sampradaya, or glory to that loving devotee known as Sri Nityananda Prabhu. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his commentary, he tells us something different. He says, Lakshmipati's disciple was Madhavendra Puri, a great preacher of devotional service, and amongst Madhavendra's disciples were Sriman Ishwara Puri, Advaita Acharya, and Nityananda Prabhu. I worship Lord Chaitanya as accepted Sriman Ishwara Puri as a spiritual master. And Prabhupada gives the same understanding in his presentation of the disciplic succession at the end of Bhagavad Gita introduction. So then the thought might come, well, how do we overcome this apparent contradiction that Narahari Chakravarti is saying one thing and it looks like other parties say something else. But actually the answer is given very clearly in Bhakti Ratnakar itself in the fifth wave. And I want to start having a look at that. And we're going to start by reading about Nityananda's initiation. It's very, very special pastime. Very special pastime. You need some of these?
Sure.
There was a good-natured Brahmin in the village of Pandapur who was a friend of Sri Madhva Puri. He welcomed Nityananda to his humble cottage and offered him fruits and milk with great affection. The residents of Pandapur were very fortunate to see beautiful Nityananda, and the Lord was happy to live in a solitary place there. On the sincere plea of the Brahmin, his own guru, Sri Lakshmipati, along with many of his disciples, came to Pandapur from a distant place. Sri Lakshmipati was a great scholar and had deep love for this disciple. Who can sufficiently sing the glories of Lakshmipati, the guru of Madhavendra Puri? Lakshmipati was famous within the Madhva Sampradaya, for he was an ocean of great devotional qualities. After begging alms in the house of that Brahmin disciple, Lakshmipati began to discuss topics about Krishna. But then he stopped, and he questioned the Brahmin. Within your house today, I see many auspicious signs. I visited your house many times before, but I have not felt the happiness that I'm feeling today. I think your house has been visited by a very special person, a very great devotee. The Brahmin, in his simplicity, replied, the auspiciousness is due to your presence, my dear Gurudev. By the wish of Nityananda, the Brahmin did not understand the real cause of this happiness. The sannyasi Lakshmipati discussed many different topics and the day passed. In the evening he sat alone, quietly sang the life of Baladev. He had great devotion for Baladev and used to regularly address his Lord by crying, O Prabhu Baladev, I'm a worthless person. Please be kind. Please be favorable to me. He could not control his emotions. He began to roll on the ground as he cried helplessly. But because he was an old man, he became very weak from such excessive emotion. And by the wish of the Lord, he fell asleep. And he dreamt of Nityananda in the form of Balaram. Lakshmipati was enchanted by the beauty of Balaram, which was sufficient to destroy the pride of Kandapa, The Lord's body was as white as a silver mountain with two long arms which reached to his knees, a broad chest, wide lotus eyes which stretched to his ears, earrings that charmed the world, and a horn which he carried under his left arm. His entire body was decorated with ornaments. His face could destroy the face of the moon, and on the pretext of talking, his mouth showered nectar. He spoke sweetly to his devotee. Your lamentation has pierced my heart. My dear Lakshmipati, Krishna is the Lord of my life, and due to my favor to you tonight, you will become the servant of my Krishna life after life. Holding the feet of Balaram, Lakshmipati told his Lord, O Prabhu, please bless me and help me forget the difference between you and Krishna. Hearing the request of Lakshmipati Prabhu, Baladeva replied smilingly, A Brahmin Avadut has come to this village. You should make him your disciple and initiate him with this mantra. Then Baladeva whispered the mantra in the ear of the sannyasi, who became very happy upon hearing it. And then Balaram disappeared. When the sannyasi awoke from sleep the next morning, he remembered his dream. Meanwhile, Nityananda had come to the village, and seeing his effulgence, Lakshmipati thought that such a person couldn't be a human being. He simply looked at the beautiful face of the avadhut while Nityananda bowed to his feet by falling flat on the ground. Lakshmipati lifted him from the ground and took him on his lap while Nityananda requested again and again, Please bless me! Please give me initiation! The sannyasi floated in his own tears as he heard the sweet words of Nityananda Prabhu. He could not disobey the order of Baladeva, and so he performed the initiation of Nityananda that very day. After the initiation, Lakshmipati took Nityananda on his lap and became ecstatic with love. This initiation increased the happiness of not only Lakshmipati, but the whole Madhva Sampradaya. As a disciple, Nityananda increased the happiness of his guru, Lakshmipati, but he soon left that place, and Lakshmipati felt very perturbed, but he had no one to tell his sorrows to. At night in his sleep, he dreamed of Nityananda and could not check the tears which flowed from his eyes. Nityananda at once took the form of Baladeva. When he saw the transformation with his own eyes, Lakshmipati fell down at the feet of Nityananda and cried, You have appeared as an incarnation to make me a fool. No common man can understand your leela. Even Brahma and other deities remain in utter darkness. Without your permission, no one can understand your intentions. Why are you fooling me in this way? Please be kind to me. Please be kind to me. On the plea of Lakshmipati, Balaram then took the form of Nityananda, and Lakshmipati was enchanted by his lightning bright beauty. In that form, Nityananda Ram fulfilled all the desires of Lakshmipati. Before disappearing, Lord Nityananda forbade Lakshmipati to tell anyone about his dream. Lakshmipati lamented the disappearance of his Nityananda Prabhu and spent the rest of the night sleeplessly. He didn't have anyone to tell his unhappiness to. His condition grew very perilous and his disciples became very concerned. Without warning, Lakshmipati disappeared from this world. Nityananda continued his pilgrimage with a happy mind, and after a long time, he met Madhavendra Puri near Pratichi Theatre. They were very happy to meet each other. Madhavendra regarded Nityananda as his dear friend, but Nityananda regarded Madhavendra Puri as his guru. Nityananda accepted Madhavendra as his Siksha guru. Shishwara Puri and the others were very happy to meet Nityananda. Nityananda and Madhavendra Puri spent their days happily discussing about Krishna. And then Nityananda left the company of Madhavendra Puri and went to Sitabandha to see Rameshwara. So we can understand from this leela that he was indeed initiated. He did receive diksha from Lakshmipati, but because of intense separation from him, Lakshmipati very soon left. And Madhavendra Puri is his older god brother, if we're talking in these terms. So he took shelter of him, and so in this way he was his Siksha guru. So it's pretty amazing. That you'd have to ask somebody who was there.
no idea what mantra he goes. You have any idea?
No, I didn't think it's probably a secret.
Yeah, I think it must be. If it's Baladev whispering in his ear, I don't think it's meant for anybody else.
It's very interesting how much affection anybody had as a guru, taking his disciple and instrument on his lap.
Yeah. And the fact that he was overcome by separation, and that is wrong. Nothing sense. Pretty amazing. So now I'm going to have to look at Nityananda and Vaishnava Seva from another angle of vision. And I'd like to begin by reading from an article entitled Associates of Sri Chaitanya, which appeared in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Harmonist in February 1932. Nityananda does not directly instruct in the confidential service of Krishna. Srimati Radharani is the guru of the inner circle of the servants of Krishna. Srimati, however, accepts only those souls who are specially favored by Nityananda and are deemed by him fit for her service. There is therefore a most intimate relationship between the function of Nityananda and that of Srimati. So this is very much in tune with what Narottam Das Thakur also tells us in Prasanna, where he says, Hino Nita Binavai, Radha Krishna, Vai Tanai, that you can't achieve the lotus feet of Radha Sharan without the mercy of Nityananda. But here, Bhaktisiddhanta is being even more explicit. He is saying that without Nityananda's mercy and direct reference, you can't enter into the eternal inner circle of Radharani's shelter and service. So he's obviously offering a service. He's providing Vaishnava Seva to Srimati Radharani. He's protecting her from any nonsense. And he's also providing facility for those who have the adhikar to enter into Radharani's party. So in this way, he's also performing Vaishnava Seva. There are three striking examples of this. Can you think of that? Raghunath Das Goswami? Yeah? Two more? Krishnadas Kaviraj. And Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami. Because Nityananda, he personally took Jiva Goswami on Navarit Mandal Parikram. And then he instructed him to go to Vrindavan and said, Shola Rupa Sanatan. And he appeared to Krishnadas Kaviraj in a dream and instructed him to go to Vrindavan. He told him, Oh my dear Krishnadas, do not be afraid. Go to Vrindavan, for you there you will attain all things. And he knew what he was talking about. Now it's interesting because Krishnadas Kaviraj, he actually unpacks what this means, what it means to attain everything by coming to Vrindavan. So I thought we'd have a look at that because we have the good fortune to be living in Vrindavan. So are we getting the full benefit of being here by the mercy of Nityananda? Okay. Would you like to read this, Mitra?
English.
Just English, yeah.
All glory to Lord Nityananda Balaram, by whose mercy I have attained shelter in the transcendental abode of Vrindavan. All glory to the merciful Lord Nityananda, by whose mercy I have attained shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Sanatana. By his mercy I have attained the shelter of the great personality of Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. And by his mercy I have found the refuge of Sri Swarup Damodar. By the mercy of Sanatana Goswami I have learned the final conclusions of devotional service. And by the grace of Sri Rupa Goswami I have tasted the highest nectar of devotional service. All glory to the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, by whose mercy I have attained Sri Radha Govinda. I am more sinful than Jagaya Madai, and even lower than the worms in the stool. Anyone who hears my name loses the result of his pious activity. Anyone who utters my name becomes sinful. Who in this world but Nityananda could show his mercy to such an abominable person? Because he is intoxicated by ecstatic love and is an incarnation of mercy, he does not distinguish between the good and the bad. He delivers all those who fall down before him. Therefore, he has delivered such a sinful and fallen person as me. Although I am sinful and I am the most fallen, He has conferred upon me the lotus feet of Shrupa Goswami.
So this is a very beautiful statement, and it gives us a lot of hope, because there's no talk of arika, personal arika. We're talking about causeless mercy. And we're mercy cases. So it's good to read about this sometimes. Read the little last section also. It gives us an insight into how to best live in Vrindavan.
All the groups of Vaishnavas who live in Vrindavan are absorbed in chanting the all-auspicious name of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are the life and soul of those Vaishnavas who do not know anything but devotional service to Sri Sri Radha Krishna. The dust and shade of the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas have been granted to this fallen soul by the mercy of Lord Nityananda.
Such a beautiful move. Such a beautiful move. Okay. What I wanted to do at this time was just a little reality check. It's just something that I like to do, because it's good to wake ourselves up occasionally. We tend to get into our little hole and stay there peacefully. But it's good to have a look at what's happening in our lives occasionally. We tell ourselves we're living in Sri Vrindavan Dham. It takes Nityananda Ram's mercy to do that. So I thought we wouldn't discuss this, but we'll just read it through. And just do a little self-reflection. I'm not using conclusive definitions here of words like Dham or what it means to be in Vrishabhasi. I'm using things just to trigger off a bit of, an awareness of maybe where we need to tidy up a bit. What does the word Dham mean? The appearance of the form of Krishna anywhere, and specifically within the heart, is called Dham. Dham refers not only to Krishna's form, but also his name, his qualities, and his paraphernalia. Everything becomes manifest simultaneously. What does it mean to live in Vrindavan? When a self-realized soul acts in his transitional position, his situation is called Mathura. In other words, when one acts in the process of Bhakti Yoga, he may live anywhere, but he actually lives in Mathura Vrindavan. Devotion to Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, is the essence of all knowledge. And wherever such knowledge is manifested, is called Mathura. Also, when one establishes Bhakti Yoga, excluding all other methods, one's situation is called Mathura. So a very interesting insight into whether we're living in Vrindavan or not, when we look at it in light of what Prabhupada is saying here. What does it mean to be a Vrishabhasi? Someone who's actually living in the Dham. The Vrishabhasis use their egos to identify themselves as servants of Krishna, their intelligence to make up their minds to act always for his satisfaction, their eyes to see him, their tongues to chant, and their ears to hear his glories. The real elevation of human life rests on knowledge and renunciation. As stated in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, devotional service rendered to Krishna automatically produces perfect knowledge and renunciation. The family members of the Yadu dynasty and the cowherds of Vrindavan had their minds fixed on Krishna. That is a symptom of perfect knowledge. And because their minds were always engaged in Krishna, they were automatically freed from all material activities. This stage of life is called Yukta Vairagya, as enunciated by Srila Rupa Goswami. Knowledge and renunciation, therefore, do not mean dry speculation and renunciation of activities. Rather, one must start speaking and acting only in relationship with Krishna. The super excellent quality of the service rendered by the residents of Vrindavan is due to their spontaneously engaging all natural instincts in their loving service. It is said that attachment for material objects and home is due to illusion, which makes the living entity conditioned in the material world. But this is only the case for persons who are not Krishna conscious. In the case of the residents of Vrindavan, such obstructions as attachment to hearth and home are non-existent, because their attachment has been directed unto you, and their homes have been converted into temples by your constant presence there. And because they've forgotten everything for your sake, there is no impediment. For a Krishna conscious person, there is no such thing as impediments due to attachment to hearth and home. Nor is there illusion. In Vrindavan, there is no distinction between material and spiritual. because everything is dedicated to your loving service. So we'll leave it for there, but just to give you a little bit of a, you know, get you churning a little bit and thinking about whether we can maybe improve our involvement. There's so much mercy, actually, to be able to live in the Dharma. We should take full advantage of it. I just wanted to have a little bit of a look about that. So what I wanted to do now is to take a look at Nityananda's mercy upon Raghunath Das Goswami. Very, very interesting. This is from Andhya 6 of Chaitanya Charitamrita. In the village of Panihari, Raghunath Das obtained an interview with Nityananda Prabhu, who is accompanied by many kirtan performers, servants, and others. Sitting on a rock under a tree on the bank of the Ganges, Lord Nityananda seemed as effulgent as hundreds and thousands of rising suns. Many devotees sat on the ground surrounding him. Seeing the effulgence of Nityananda Prabhu, Raghunath Das was astonished. Raghunath Das offered his obeisances by falling prostrate at a distant place, and the servant of Nityananda Prabhu pointed out, "There is Raghunath Das offering you obeisances." Hearing this, Lord Nityananda Prabhu said, "You are a thief. Now, come here, today I'll punish you." The Lord called him, but Raghunath Das did not go near. Then the Lord forcibly caught him and placed his lotus feet upon Raghunath Das's head. Lord Nityananda was by nature very funny and very merciful. Being merciful, he spoke to Raghunath Das as follows, "You are just like a thief, for instead of coming near, you stay away at a distant place. Now I've captured you, and now I'll punish you." Now the Acharyas tell us that why Nityananda is calling him a thief is because he's trying to attain the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without his mercy, without Nityananda's mercy. So he's not doing it the right way. So Nityananda's saying, "You thief, you rascal thief. Make a festival and feed all my associates yogurt and chip rice." Hearing this, Raghunath Das was greatly pleased and organized the festival. Nityananda Ram and all his associates were very satisfied, and Raghunath Das received the remnants of Nityananda Ram's prasad. Just to put you a little bit in the mood. So, they've had a wonderful, wonderful feast. Sitting in the Ganges. After receiving the remnants of food left by Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Raghunath Das, who was greatly happy, ate some and distributed the rest amongst his associates. Nityananda rested for the day, and when the day ended, he went to the temple of Raghava Pandit and began congregationally chanting the holy name of the Lord. Lord Nityananda Prabhu first influenced all the devotees to dance. Finally, he himself began dancing, thus inundating the entire world in ecstatic love. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was observing the dancing of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu could see this, but others could not. Unfortunately, I could only get 3 photos of this. But very ecstatic. Nityananda is wildly dancing, and Mahaprabhu is watching him dance. After the dancing, and after Lord Nityananda had rested, Raghava Pandit submitted this request that the Lord take his supper. Lord Nityananda Prabhu sat down to supper with his personal associates and made a sitting place on his right side for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there and sat down at his place. Seeing this, Raghava Pandit felt increasing bliss. Raghava Pandit brought the prasad before the two brothers and thereafter distributed prasad to all the other devotees. All the devotees present requested Raghunath Das to sit down and take prasad. But Raghava Pandit told them, "He will take prasad later." All the devotees took prasad, filling themselves to the brim. Thereafter, chanting the holy name of Hari, they stood up and washed their hands and mouths. and Raghava Pandit offered them betel nuts, worshipped their lotus feet. He also distributed betel nuts, flower garlands, and sandal pot to all of the devotees. And then, being very merciful towards Raghunath Das, he offered him the dishes with the remnants of food left by the two transcendental brothers. He said, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has eaten this food. If you take these remnants, you'll be released from the bondage of famine. The next morning, after taking his bath from the Ganges, Nityananda Prabhu sat down with his associates beneath the same tree under which he'd previously sat. Raghunath Das went there and worshipped Lord Nityananda's lotus feet. Through Raghava Pandit, he submitted his desire. I am the lowest of men, the most sinful, fallen, and condemned. Nevertheless, I desire to attain the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No one can attain the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without your mercy. But if you're merciful, even the lowest of men can attain shelter at his lotus feet. Although I'm unfit and greatly afraid to submit this plea, I nevertheless request you, sir, to be especially merciful toward me by granting me the shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Placing your feet on my head, give me the benediction that I may achieve the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without difficulty. I pray for this benediction. After hearing this appeal of Raghunath Das, Lord Nityananda Prabhu smiled and told all the devotees, Raghunath's standard of material happiness is equal to that of Indra, the king of heaven. Then Lord Nityananda Prabhu called Raghunath Das near him, placed his lotus feet upon Raghunath Das's head, and began to speak. My dear Raghunath Das, he said, since you arranged the feast on the bank of the Ganges, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here just to show you his mercy. By his causeless mercy, he ate that chipped rice and milk. Then after seeing the dancing of the devotees at night, he took his supper. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come here personally to deliver you. Rest assured that all the impediments meant for your bondage are gone. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will accept you and place you under the charge of his secretary, Srirup Damodar. You will thus become one of the most confidential internal associates and will attain the shot of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Being assured of all this, return to your own home. Very soon, without impediment, you will attain the shot of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Nityananda had Raghunath Das blessed by all the devotees, and Raghunath Das offered his respects at the lotus feet. Such a beautiful culture. Such a beautiful culture. So the lesson's pretty clear to us that, these three amazing Goswamis, by their Sadhika Vesh Leela, they're making it very clear to us that we definitely need the mercy of Nityananda. It's a must. So now we'll move on to talk about Namruchi and Nityananda Ram. This is a very amazing topic. If I need to repeat anything, just let me know, because some of it's very, very subtle. Usually when we speak of Namruchi, we're indicating a stage of Nambhajan between Namnista and Namashakti. We're talking of Mahaprabhu Shikshastika 3. And it means that our taste for Nam is beginning to eclipse our taste for other things. That's how we usually see it. In essence, we're talking a difference between Kevala Kirtan. This is Nam Kirtan that is alphabet soup. The Kirtan of the common people. It's called Kevala Kirtan. And we're talking the difference between that and Sneha Sanyukta Kirtan. This is where you're chanting with affection for the holy name. You actually have affection. So this is how we usually see it. But Nityananda Ram's Namruchi is very, very different. Everything about him is unique, including his Namruchi. So his Namruchi is for Prem Nam Sankirtan. He has taste for that. And this is very briefly but beautifully described in Chaitanya Bhagavat. When Sri Nityananda Ram was eating, sleeping, or wandering about, he did not waste a moment without Sankirtan. And Bhaktisiddhanta comments, Sri Nityananda Prabhu would always glorify the topics of Sri Gaur Hari, even while eating, sleeping, and traveling. He spoke only about topics of Krishna, nothing else. His every activity was accompanied by Hare Kirtan. And Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandava, he quotes the example of Nityananda Prabhu when he gives the vidhi that all activity in Kali Yuga should be accompanied by Kirtan. You know, whatever you're doing, you should be at Kirtan. So he's, you know, he cited it as the example of that because he was the perfection of it. Everything he did was always Harinam there. Now, there are very many subtle and very special intricacies about Sri Nityananda Ram that mean that he has an incredible ability not only to taste Premnam, but to distribute it, to distribute that taste. And because of these intricacies, they actually make his position very, very unique. There's nobody like Nityananda in any regard, but especially in this regard. So we read a little bit from Chaitanya Charitamrita, which tells us that the supreme first point we're looking at is that Nityananda and Gaurhari are non-different. That adds a special edge. Chaitanya Charitamrita tells us, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the fountainhead of all incarnations. Lord Balaram is his second body. They are both one and the same identity. They are different only in form. He is the first bodily expansion of Krishna, and he assists Lord Krishna's transcendental pastimes. The original Lord Krishna appeared in Navadvipa as Lord Chaitanya, and Balaram appeared as Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda fulfills all of Lord Chaitanya's desires. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he spells this out himself. He spells out this non-difference very, very clearly in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Andhya 5. Sri Goswami spoke some confidential topics to Raghava Pandit in a solitary place. O Raghava, I have something confidential to tell you. Nityananda is non-different from me. I tell you, I do whatever Nityananda wants me to do. I tell you frankly that all my activities are performed through Nityananda. Everyone in your house will come to understand that Nityananda is non-different from me. From Nityananda, you will easily obtain that which is rarely attained by the best of the mystic yogis. Therefore, you should very carefully serve Nityananda, knowing him to be the Supreme Lord himself. And he speaks about it even more explicitly when he speaks of Nityananda himself. This is a Madhya 5 of Chaitanya Bhagavat. When Nityananda fell unconscious on seeing the six-armed form of Mahaprabhu, that Mahaprabhu personally picked him up with his own hands and said, O Nityananda, get up and steady your mind. Listen to the congregational chanting that you have begun. The kirtan for which you have an incarnated to inaugurate is going on before you. What more do you want? Prema Bhakti belongs to you, for you are the personification of ecstatic love. Unless you distribute this devotional service, no one can possess it. So Mahaprabhu is making it crystal clear that when he's saying, I will preach the chanting of the holy names in every house, in every village, I shall make the world dance in ecstasy, realizing the formulas of loving devotional service, he's saying Nityananda's going to do it. It's actually Nityananda that's doing it. So who can give a taste for Nam, you know, better than Nityananda? Such an amazing person. A second intricacy, which makes him very unique in his ability to distribute the holy name, is that he is the holy name himself. He's himself the holy name. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains this very clearly in Gajrima Kalpatavi, which is the Nam Hat handbook that he wrote. And go in Chaitanya Bhagavad, it's also explained even a little bit more further, which makes it even more interesting. This is from Mantia 5. All living entities become astonished when they see Nityananda. That most blissful Nityananda is a combined form of the holy name and the form of the Supreme Godhead. Bhaktivedanta comments, Sri Nityananda Prabhu is directly Swayam Prakash Tattva, the holy name of the Lord, and the Lord Himself combined together and manifest the Swayam Prakash Nityananda, the reservoir of transcendental happiness. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Himself confirms this understanding. This is from Antya 7 of Chaitanya Bhagavan. After some time, Gauhari folded his hands and began to offer prayers to Nityananda. O Nityananda, you are the personified form of the holy name and the form of eternal bliss. You are the abode of all Vaishnavas, and you yourself are Lord Ananta. All the ornaments decorating your transcendental body are incarnations of the devotional service to Krishna. This is the truth, this is the truth, this is the truth. You take pleasure decorating yourself with the nine processes of devotional service in the form of ornaments, decked with gold, pearls, diamonds, and rudraksha. All the fallen, wretched, low-born living entities will now be delivered by your mercy. So again, who is more qualified to give us Naam Ruchi than Nityananda? And a very amazing, unique feature of Nityananda is that he freely distributed the mood of the gopis' love for Krishna. And he did it through Naam Sankirtan. He didn't have everybody sitting down meditating. He had them dancing wildly in Naam Sankirtan. So in Andhya 5 of Chaitanya Bhagavat, tells us, out of his causeless mercy, Lord Nityananda freely distributed to his dear associates the love for Krishna desired by personalities like Brahma. And he freely distributed the attachment to Krishna displayed by the gopis of Braj. My brothers just worship the lotus feet of Nityananda, by whose mercy one can attain the shot of Lord Chaitanya. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments, demigods headed by Lord Brahma cannot understand the gopis' cultivation of Krishna consciousness. But Sri Nityananda Prabhu mercifully and freely gave his own servants and his followers the gopis' attachment to Krishna, which is rare even for personalities like Lord Brahma. It's another good reason to be a follower of Nityananda. And how does the gopis' attachment for Krishna externally manifest? In a nutshell, Kirtanaya Sadahari, constant Kirtan. And this is what Nityananda is about. And this is very beautifully described in Bhagavatam 10:44:15. Have a listen to this. It's a really beautiful verse. The ladies of Braj are the most fortunate of women because with their minds fully attached to Krishna and their throats always choked up with tears, they constantly sing about him while milking the cows, winnowing grain, churning butter, gathering cow dung for fuel, riding on swings, taking care of their crying babies, sprinkling the ground with water, cleaning their houses, and so on. Their minds are fixed on Krishna alone. And we're not talking yogic discipline. We're talking spontaneous attraction and attachment. And there's a very beautiful, really beautiful elaboration on this given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It's his sticker on Bhagavatam 10:29:34. I'll read that verse. O Krishna, you so easily stole our hearts, which up to now had been absorbed in our family lives, while our hands were busy with our housework. Now our feet are incapable of taking even a single step away from your lotus feet. How can we go back to Braj? And even if we went, what would we do there? Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, in the mood of the gopis, O greatest of thieves, we did not come here for anything except to take back what you've stolen. You didn't have to go to much trouble like an ordinary thief to steal our hearts, it's true. All you had to do was blow a few notes on your flute. Even so, the wealth of our hearts is no small treasure. Until now, our hearts have been fully absorbed in our household lives. So by stealing them, you have literally looted our homes. Now that our hearts are no longer there, our homes may burn or they may prosper, we no longer care. Our hearts are needed for our homes and our senses to become meaningful, and without them, they become useless. By stealing our hearts, you have also robbed us of all our senses, not only of our hands, which until now have been so busy with household chores, but also our eyes, our ears, and all our other senses. If you tell us to go home and that you will return our hearts in a couple of days, We will answer that our feet are incapable of moving even a single step from here without our hearts. So please, give us back our hearts, and then we will go. So the beauty of this is, in Prabhupada's introduction to Chaitanya Charitamrita, he tells us that Govindadeva's instruction in Bhagavad Gita to always remember Krishna is none different than Mahaprabhu's instruction to always chant the holy name. And this is how we put this together. That Nityananda's program, and we saw it in Panihati in particular when we were talking about that pastime, everybody just got completely absorbed, they forgot everything else. Now, of course, we can't imitate that, but his standard of always whatever we're doing, if we're doing kirtan, because Mahaprabhu's mood is not one lakh a day, it's not three lakhs a day, it's keeping ourselves sadahari. It's always chanting, and chanting with affection. So we have to realize that our goal is not to eternally remain a sadhika. Sadhikas count numbers. That's not our goal. Our goal is to become a loving servant, an attached servant of Krishna. So the numbers have their place, but we can never think that's the goal. The goal is to come to a platform of loving Krishna where we're doing all the things. The gopis are taking care of their crying kids, you have to do it. The gopis are cleaning the house, you have to do it. Do it with kirtan. And you're following in the footsteps of Nityananda Rao. Just a little conclusion, which is from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's commentary on Chaitanya Bhagavata 4. Oh, my dear friends, just by the mercy of Nityananda, living energy becomes qualified to serve Sri Gaurasundar. Nityananda is the source of all qualification for serving the Lord. When out of compassion, Nityananda bestows that qualification on others, they also become qualified to serve Gaur. So we don't become qualified for serving Gauranga Mahaprabhu by our own endeavor. We become qualified for serving Mahaprabhu by attaining the mercy of Nityananda. No one is qualified to serve Gaurasundar without the mercy of Nityananda. The body of Nityananda is non different from that of Gaurasundar. Those who desire to cross over the ocean of material existence and drown in the ocean of devotional service should take full shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Nityananda. For this is the only means to achieve the desired goal.
Father, come on. पद पाषण्य असत रे सत कोजी मानी अहंकार रे मत होइया गाई पद पछरिया असत्य रे सत्य करी मानी मिटाई करुणा होबे मिटाई करुणा होबे ब्रजे राधा कृष्ण पावे धरम मिटाई चरण करुणा हवे रजे राधा कृष्ण पावे कर नीतई जनन रूपानी नीतई पद कोमल कोटि चंद्र शीतल नीतई पद कोमल जद जुड़ाए ये छाए जद जुड़ाए नौनी तैरी ने भाई राधा कृष्ण पैसे नहीं करी घर नीता आए नीताई भी ने भाई राधा कृष्ण पाइत नहीं वीर करी धर नीताई आए नीताई पद ओम कदी नीताल नीताई पद ओम आहार सेवक नित्यम नेताई चरण सत्या आहार सेवक नित्यम नेताई पद सदा करया मन रे नेताई पद सदा करया नरोत्तम वर दुखी नेताई मरे कर सुखी नरोत्तम वर दुखी नेताई मरे कर मा बड़ दुखी निताई मरे कर छुटी संबंध नहीं जा जन्म गण कई पशु बड़ दुराचार ना बोली ला मुखे मनील संसार सुखे नितैना बोली ला मुखे मनील संसार सुखे विद्या तुझे गीत काम विद्या फुले की करी pada kamala kati tanna sisi ana nitan pada kamala kati tanna sisi ana ye chaye jaga rae ভাই রাধা কৃষ্ণ পাইত নাই বীর কবি ধর নিতাই বিনে ভাই রাধা কৃষ্ণ পাইত নাই বীর কবি ধর নিতাই পাদ আমরা